This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Oh, yes, yes, y'all.
To the beach, y'all.
Woo, this is Damian Lemon.
And this is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah.
I always feel like Run DMC when we go back and forth like that.
Yes,
yeah, that old school.
It's very old school.
Rappers don't go back and forth, they take the whole 16.
Or the 8 bars.
You know what I'm saying?
And do a few.
Do a hook.
Very few bars now.
Yeah, it ain't no back and forth. You say this line and then I say the rhyme line.
Because it's email. Can't just be, he's an instant messenger. Ha hoo! Boom boom! Ha hoo! Anyway. What's cracking, man? How you doing?
Man, as you can see, Ramadan is over.
Yeah, you back in the business,
you know
huh?
What I'm saying? We back, you know what I'm saying? Eating and drinking in the daytime.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So today was Eid, you know?
Yeah.
Yesterday was the last day of fasting.
Okay.
And feeling fresh, feeling good. We back in the building.
Yeah. How was the Ramadan overall? Did you learn anything? You felt like you gleaned something?
Yeah, I mean, just more faith, you know what I'm saying? I set my intentions in the beginning. And I feel like I'm well on that path of what I intended to get done. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get things done during the 30 days or 40 days. You know what I'm saying? But it gets you started. It's like a new year. You know what I'm saying? It gets you back focused. You know what I'm saying? By the time it come back around next year, you'll be raggedy again. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just frazzled.
Trying to do it once again.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? But coming up out of you usually be fresh. And it's a good time this year for how it timed out, because usually it be dead center in the middle of the summer. The last few years is like dead in the middle of the summer. You know what I'm saying? July, June last year. You know what I'm saying? So this year was more May. And now the summer could kick off and you're fresh.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't getting fresh in the middle of summer.
So you could participate in the summer.
You could participate in the summer. You could actually have, you know what I'm saying, get your mind right to capitalize on summer. You know what I'm saying? Usually you be dead sitting in the middle of it and you, then trying to get right in the middle of some craziness. But this year is done. It's good. We setting off on some good projects. Like, you know what I'm saying, the summer projects are just starting right after, you know what I'm saying, this is over. So, you know, it's beautiful.
Nice little a la oop. Boom, boom,
check. That's hilarious. Ah, that nigga's a comedian.
Hilarious.
Damn. Man. That's a good one.
like the a la oop?
A la oop.
Oh, shit.
Dunking on these
fools. Shit. Speaking of the games, you see these? You been watching these finals?
I saw the first game. I didn't see this. I missed the second game.
Oh, man. I missed the second game, too, actually. I missed
We on the same page.
We on the same page. I see, but I did see the Drake Chronicles.
Yeah, Drake is out there with he a whole nother entertainment value for the game.
He damn near outshining the game. The game is cool, but he's definitely.
I guess LeBron ain't in it this year, so they had to, you know what I'm saying, fill the void.
Star power.
Yeah, bring some star power to a guest appearance.
The trolling that he's doing is amazing, though.
Top notch.
Yeah.
Primo.
The Kevin hoodie.
The Kevin, even the Curry jersey.
Shit was bananas.
The Curry Toronto jersey.
Oh, man.
With his dad jersey.
That was deep.
That's next level.
It was diabolical. He's a high-minded troll. I can't be mad at him.
No doubt.
Can't be mad at him. The picking the lint out of my man hair. That a fucking nigga.
And EB in it.
Yeah. But just the damn. So you got lint in your hair right before you got to play in the finals? Hoo-hoo. You motherfucker. Anyway.
Fuck you, Drake.
Yeah. What you think of this series, though? How you feeling about it, Ben?
I'm feeling good. I'm glad Toronto was able to take one. You know what I'm saying? They definitely ain't getting swept. That gives you a lot of confidence to go into the rest of the series.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it shows that, you know, while from my perspective, you know, the Warriors, they always look invincible. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, it's just too much. You know, too many tools. You know what I'm saying? Too much.
Yeah.
So
it's unfair.
You know what I'm saying? For when they lose, it feels pretty good to know that, okay, they normal, they human. Yeah. And then what Drake is doing actually is fucked up for the Warriors, perception-wise, because when you see them respond to him, it makes them even more human.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When they were like an invincible force to deal with. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When you see Kevin Durant and
Draymond or Klay?
Klay Thompson. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Responding to Drake. Well, more KD than Klay. Mm-hmm. Klay always keep his shit cool. He was like, yeah, motherfucker, fuck you.
Yeah, he's very neutral.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when you see KD fully engaged in the back and forth, it's like, ah.
He feel like, I think it's, yeah, he looks, they look like they're, not, to your point, human, I guess.
Right.
And then with the KD shit, he got to do something because standing in the tunnel just giving daps is not the move. Either you going to play, my man, or what are you doing?
My
this in the tunnel. Yo, good game. That shit is.
Cheerleader Kevin.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's a little frustrating.
He got to stay involved, though. You know what I'm saying?
I guess so.
But you know what I'm saying? In your sports figures, you want everybody to be Kobe and Jordan.
Ice
cold assassins don't, you know what I'm saying? You never see them be human.
Unbothered.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna never catch Kobe, you know what I'm saying, playing around in the tunnel with Drake.
Yeah, that ain't know what I'm saying?
He gonna give him a good old.
Right.
And keep it moving.
Right, right. He might swing on Drake.
Yeah. He play too much.
Draymond probably the only one with that energy, and even that's kind of subsided.
Yeah, but Draymond, his shit, he has that energy to the where it's like almost like he take it over the edge sometimes. Not in a way that, in a bad way, just in a way that also lets you know that he's human. You know what I'm saying? Mm. He don't keep it real composed and keep it, he don't take it so seriously.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He like that neighborhood bully. You know what I'm saying? They just fuck with you and laugh about it.
Uh-huh.
Come back and fuck with you again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He ain't the one just gonna kill you, walk off. Nah, he wanna.
He like the provocation.
He wanna revel in the whole shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh man, what's up with you, man? What's going on? How was your break from Ramadan? Did you what you eat? Did you do anything crazy or?
Nah, I kept it to my same routine.
Okay.
Really,
fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody usually go to the big Eid celebration and masjid and stuff, but you know what I'm saying? I can't front. I ain't been to the masjid, so I feel real weird just going for the Eid.
It's like Easter, you know, showing up.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I celebrate within my own confines, you know what I'm saying? As of now, my pops want me to go to the masjid more, but you know, I'm on my journey.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Making my way. Okay. In this world, you know what I'm saying, the best way I know right
Giving
now.
It everything you got?
You're exactly.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? We got a whole theme song for it.
You know what you were going with, right?
Nah, what was I going with?
What record is that? That Making the Way in the World Today, giving it everywhere. What song is that? Would you like to get away? What record is that? Cheers. That's the Cheers theme that you was going
Cheers?
Through. Yeah, you were just, I guess, absent-minded.
Like where everybody knows your name?
Yeah. Making a Way in the World Today, giving everything you got. That's how it kicks off.
Yeah, I never watched Cheers, but yeah. Okay.
Cheers was the shit. Cheers is on Netflix.
Word.
It's not that Cheers needs any new fans 40 years later, but
yeah, that's kind of like the same thing. It's gonna feel weird going joining Cheers later like that.
Yeah, I guess it's definitely gonna. You're not gonna see much of you.
They had one black Cheers. Character, didn't he?
I don't think so.
No.
They immediately, no. That's why
no.
It's classic.
That wasn't even the era of
Come
the black.
On. No, blacks, no. Ooh, stop it.
You guys had the Jeffersons. Keep it moving.
The good old days. I had a teacher tell me that shit back in high school. I was like, it was no black people on Happy Days. He was like, that's why they called it Happy Days. I was like,
And that's really why I don't fuck with the 50s, man. For real. The 50s was a great time for white people. It was terrible for us.
All of them times was a great time.
No, I'm talking
for
about,
people.
But the '50s.
That was their
that
shit.
Was like, that was their 90s. That was like the pinnacle. That was like the golden era of white in America.
I hear
you. Know what I'm saying? Leather jackets and big shiny cars.
Right.
Drive-ins.
Sock hops.
Drive-in restaurants. You right. know what I'm saying?
Right.
With waitresses on skates and
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
They was having a good time.
Yeah, you ain't seen no blacks in that. In that
we
fun.
Was having a terrible time.
You know, and I, you know, Tony, that you say that, I be feeling, I feel that way when I go to like I go upstate, or I'll go to some of these little places, like, you know, like you go to like to the Hamptons, or you go to mm-hmm. like Savannah, and you go to these places where there's these big manors and these mm-hmm. huge, like they're beautiful plantations sometimes.
Plantation great style
looking,
manors.
Yeah. Great looking houses. That look great, and you've seen them on, you know, on movies and television right. as the great homes that they are, but you never see yourself in that shit.
Nah. And see, but even those, like the plantation style homes, mm-hmm. that's like, you know, early top of the century, you know what I'm saying, late 1800s shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was few, you know what I'm saying, a few of them having a great time, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then in the 20s, you know what I'm saying, it was the roaring 20s yeah. and shit. A few, you know what I'm saying, it was a set of them having right. a great time. But it seemed like the 50s
was the jam, huh?
The regular white man was having a great time in the 50s. You know what I'm saying? Like Fonzie and them, they weren't rich or no shit.
Right.
It was regular.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Worked at the gas station right. pumping gas.
Having
you know
a good ass time.
Cigarettes rolled up in a white tee.
Mm-hmm.
They was having a great time after work, though. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, that. You know what I'm saying? It was like when you see all the imagery, mm-hmm. I just never connect with it. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know. At least in the 60s, we was fighting back. You know what I'm saying? Getting a voice.
Yeah, we were in there.
You know what I'm saying? We was getting a voice and right. coming, you know, had our, right. like, fuck it. We're going to grow these froes out real right, big right. with these bell bottoms and
we got an agenda.
You know what I'm saying?
We got some shit to do.
We got some shit to do.
What is the, what's the best decade for blacks?
It's right is now, it, motherfucker.
You think it's right now? Is it always?
It's a hell of a time to be black.
I think Chris Rock said some shit like that. Like, the future is always the best for us, obviously. But, I mean, if we had to look back, like how you pulled out the 50s.
I think we had a great time in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of great music. Mm-hmm. You know, we was, you know, breaking free. You know what I'm saying? It was our shit rolls out in stages.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
we get 5 months. We get a whole decade. You know we get saying? 5 years.
You know what I'm saying? Then we got to move where we wanted to move and shit and live in the suburbs and mm-hmm. shit. And then, you know, the 80s, we got hip hop.
And
then the 90s, it kind of went to that level.
Only thing about the 80s and the 90s, we did have to cut a little bit of that joy with some crack epidemic.
Well, but they tried to get us with the crack,
right,
put
right.
us back in our place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I like a good 88 to 93 was a good half of that. Was a nice, I felt good about those years.
I felt
good about the Obama years.
Obama year?
Good.
I mean, yeah, 88 to 93 was great. That was my coming of age.
I'm judging it by hip hop. I'm trying to, you know, there was
lifestyle though was great. That was a great time. It was yeah. great hip hop. It was great clubbing. It was great. It was great style. There was a lot going on.
It was a lot of opposition back then too.
But you didn't feel it because you had hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, the way I was living,
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel none of that oppression. You know what I'm saying? Because it didn't affect me because I was in my own bubble, in my own
right,
world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like later, like now, where you got kids and everybody is integrated and you got gentrification and it's the first time in the history of America where white people are moving to black neighborhoods and we living together
mm-hmm.
where it's a black culture. You know what I'm saying? Now you have to figure out new shit. It's new shit to figure out. Like, okay, you know what I'm saying? How do we deal with each other? In 88, you didn't have to see white people if you didn't want to, in my world. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I mean? It was just
right.
just black, a black existence. You didn't have to listen to their radio. You didn't have to do none of that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So everything we did was, I went to a black ass school.
Right.
On the weekend, we went to black ass house parties. Black ass clubs that Luke ran,
uh-huh.
you know what I'm saying? And listened to black ass music from DJs and underground radio, and it didn't exist. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Went to FAMU and, you know what I'm saying, in 90, and that shit was black bubble. Mm. And then you had Martin on TV. You had, right. You know what I'm saying, Cosby's in a different world, and you know what I'm saying, in Living Color, mm. and Apollo Comedy Hour. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Def Comedy Jam.
Right.
Shit, you was fully entertained, and you really never had to step out of it if you didn't want to at that stage.
Yeah, but see, that was also the same time as what, OJ? It was the same time as...
But OJ was for lack of a better thing, it was a celebration because he got up.
He got up, but I mean, around that same time was, what was it, the riots?
Rodney King, but then Rodney we had King. That. Mean, we had our voice. We could reference our inner Chuck D.
Right. You know, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we had some opposition. That was also Central Park 5, 89. There was a lot of shit going on.
No, there definitely was a lot of shit.
I said this when Trump got elected. I knew that culturally, we were probably gonna get better because when shit is fucked up, mm-hmm. culturally. Shit gets way better because right. we trying to manifest or make some sense of what's going on and like respond to what's, you know what I mean? What's right. the zeitgeist.
Right.
And Central. Go ahead.
Like you said, you had the Central Park 5, right?
Yeah.
Where I was from, I mean, you saw it on the news. Right. You know what I'm saying? But you didn't really understand it as much. Like, I understand it more now right. living in New York. Right. But at the time, like I said, living in a black bubble, mm-hmm. you didn't even understand how a wolf pack of black kids even could encounter a white woman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, that's what
like,
you're
saying. Because the geography-wise, mm-hmm. we had to go so many miles before you saw a white person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you live in Miami, it's so segregated and right. segmented. By the time you get to some white people or some rich white people, especially, it's miles. You going a long way on a bus or some mm-hmm. public transportation. Like, it ain't no close right up on each other shit. So you didn't really understand how that, mm-hmm. like, how why they went to a white neighborhood and was wild, and that right. was, that's kind of, that's like some wild shit to us.
So your first real encounter with white folks was after college?
Yes. See, like, different. You know what I'm saying? Real encounters.
Right, like, right,
you know
right. Saying? To where, like, you had to engage.
You had to engage. I was grown. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right, really, right. really, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was grown. I was.
It was like, oh, shit, they got white people in this world.
No, it's like, you know what I'm saying?
No, but I'm just asking because it's good.
No, I'm just saying, like, my first encounter with white people having to engage with them, though, actually wasn't in a, you know what I'm saying? It was still in a bubble.
Like schools? It, what you mean? What you mean?
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It was a situation where it was a complicated situation where they were our clients in a drug situation.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? It was still our world. Like even that. Though it was their situation, it was our world. You know what I'm saying? We made the rules.
Right.
But it was interesting learning about white people through, you know what I'm saying? Being someone who sold drugs
right.
and them as consumers, you know right. what I'm saying? Right. And then you're in their space.
Right.
And but they're from a different world. But that's how I learned more about white people. Mm-hmm. They were trust fund kids, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they were quote-unquote partying, mm-hmm. but it didn't really look like a party to us. It was like, this shit ain't no party.
It looks sad.
It was like, this is crazy. Yeah. So it was a lot of Pink Floyd and drugs.
Okay.
So... But to understand their world, you know what I'm saying, you to come across different kinds of people and mm-hmm. and people whose parents are people you see on TV. And
right.
you know what I'm saying? People who use drugs that play in the PGA tour and they come after they get off the tour, they come spend 2 weeks in the you know what I'm saying, yeah. in the spot.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Getting it in. It's eye awakening. You know what I'm saying?
That's like,
to understand how trust fund money works. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's to like when you got one kid who gets his check. They not kids. They adults. When they get their check and they spend it all on drugs mm-hmm. and they sponsor the whole situation, mm-hmm. then that money runs out. Then the next person get theirs and they do the same shit. And mm-hmm. it's just a culture of, hey,
like a cocaine fellowship.
A cocaine fellowship.
That's wild.
So that was my first real experience uh-huh. with white people, and I learned a lot. But it wasn't intrusive, or it wasn't, you know what I'm saying, oppressive to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was a situation where you could learn at a nice pace, right. At your own pace.
Right. You set the speed
and you got to understand it. So by the time I got to New York and I was in a workplace and you got people coming from, you know, you got WASP and you got people, you know, mm-hmm. going to the Hamptons and all that type mm-hmm. of shit, you halfway already understand them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? From a perspective, you already been around these kind of people.
Okay. But it was a little different, though.
It's a lot different.
It was a drug addict.
No, it probably still is, but not. I wasn't in control of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Got you.
But I understand where they come from,
right.
The lifestyle of it, you know right. what I'm saying, and how some of that flows.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you got a kid whose mother is really just trying to figure out how to make their life better, mm-hmm. they already rich, they have no problems. But now they have this problem of addiction, mm-hmm. and they're trying to create ways for him to not pay attention to that and be involved in something else. Like, so we got one guy whose parents just bought him a fucking whole store because he was very interested in animals and shit. Mm-hmm. So they bought him a pet store. He never went to that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Never went to that shit at all. But in his house, he had these big ass fish tanks that was like 20 feet long and shit.
Mm-hmm.
One with full of tropical shit. And he didn't take care of shit but them fish. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he did take care of
them. He was actually passionate. But like, you could do anything in that motherfucker you want, but you can't fuck with them fish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he took care of them fish. Them the only motherfuckers in that house that ate.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Them and the dog.
Uh-huh.
And then he had another tank that was full of piranhas.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And the fish and the dog was well taken care of. So I get the parents' understanding of like, okay, let's do something that he's passionate about.
Right.
And they did that shit. He never went to that shit. But it was interesting, the lengths that, you know what I'm saying, you could go to when you had the resources to go to them to right. create opportunities for your children.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And as a parent now, I understand it. You know, I'm not in that situation and I'm not that, I don't have the same problem, but I understand trying to create opportunities for your kids,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, the best way you can. And a lot of times, that's when you have white people taking your opportunities and shit like that, it's a lot of times it's that shit. They just creating ways for their people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But knowing that, you had to figure out how to get around it and do your thing within the same system. You're not going to do that shit on my back, but I understand it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear that. I think... What's up?
I don't know if that was too transparent.
No, nah, what was you mean?
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, it was good. We didn't even have to bleep nothing this week.
Motherfuckers didn't even bleep it.
Oh, they ain't bleep it. Did you get a call?
No, shit is all the way up there. No, I ain't got the call. I'm watching the shit. This shit is right there.
Letting it live. All right, we'll get to it. Oh man, damn. Ah, oh, shit. Yeah,
nothing sacred.
Nah. Oh man, I think not first. I know I moved around white people around like 11, 12. I'd been around white people. Like, I used to do like the Fresh Air Fund when I was a kid. So, like, when I was growing up.
Quintessential New York shit.
Yeah, When I was growing up, everybody was black. Only people that were really white that I saw were like teachers and shit like that, cops, people at the store. You know what I mean? But like, that wasn't anything. It was just regular. You know, but I was young too, so I never really looked at like disparity like that. You know how like when you're young, you don't know if you're poor, you don't know, you don't see mm-hmm. all of that shit. You don't see politics at play or shit like that. But when I went to Fresh Air Fun,
mm-hmm.
like that was like the first time a motherfucker was like other. You know what I mean? Right. Like it was just back in the day, you black with everybody else.
Right.
Now you the black guy. You know what I'm saying? Getting off the bus with the other black kids
right.
to come to this community where they be like, the black kids are here.
Here so, they come. Bing, right. bing, 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 bing.
And it was weird because it was like, it was different as fuck. It was a whole like different environment.
Tell them what the Fresh Air Fund is.
Fresh Air Fund is a like a program where when I was a kid, I was taking kids from the inner city they would ship you out to like, to the country,
mm-hmm.
you know, for fresh air. for like typically about 2 week vacations type thing. You go down to Port Authority, get on the bus. My shit, for the most part, I was going to like Gloversville, New York, which is about it's probably about an hour away from where I was at Saratoga. So there was part of me that was like, let me go drive through Gloversville and see what the fuck it looked like. But it was too far. I was like, I'm not, you know, man, this is, I don't really want, you know what I mean? I don't know nobody out there that I can recall, and I don't really want to go to Gloversville.
Little Damien? Yeah. Is that you?
Oh, my God. Imagine that shit. That'd be hilarious. No, but yo. But so you go out there for like 2 weeks. You live with this family. And you live amongst whatever family type of shit they had. So
right.
first couple times I went to this one family. I've talked about this before. They ain't had no TV. They were very religious. They read the Bible at 6 o'clock every day around the table and shit. They worked on a farm. You know, it was different as fuck.
Right.
But it was interesting. It was cool. I found out you start to see their culture. Like that's how I got into Randy Travis. Not into it, but I remember that song. He got a song called Forever and Ever, Amen, right? And this kid, it was like the shit. You know what I mean? Like, it was the shit in the white community. This motherfucker, the cat that I was staying with, would play this shit in the whip all the time. And that shit was his lady. Every time she heard it, you could tell that was their song.
Right.
It was a brand new song, but it was like the song. You could feel it. Just like any other, the song. Right. You know what I mean? You're like, oh. This is the white song. You know what I'm saying? Because when I went back, nobody had heard about this shit.
Right.
But every so often, I would have conversations with white people. I'd be like, you fuck the hell, we'll talk about country music. And I'd be like, yo, Randy Travis was it. Rand, how you know about Randy Travis? You know what I mean? It was like a little in there, in their little thing. But it wasn't much to it. It was just some different ass shit. It was like, it was boring, but it was a lot to do. It was just a lot to, it was the same type of shit, just run outside and play, but it wasn't outside in the streets.
Right.
It was outside in the grass.
In the field,
stay out the barn. I went through the barn. I got stitches in my knee because we was playing hide and go seek. We running through the barn. To this day, we running through this dark ass barn. I come out and my whole shit is bloody. I don't even notice. Everybody's like, yo, your shit is bleeding. I look down. You know how you don't know you bleed until you look down. You're like, oh, it looked like I got shot. I had to get like 9 stitches.
What still happened?
I don't fucking, to this day, I don't know. All I know is I ran through something,
through the
cut
barn.
The fuck out of me. Well, and they told
shit
me.
Shit that'll cut you.
And what I did realize that, and it was a couple times like this, because I was on some bullshit sometimes, but I do some wild shit. They had to take me to the hospital, get some stitches. But you could tell they was a little nervous because, you know, I'm not their kid. You know what I'm saying? This is a kid on loan from the city that got fucked
and
up.
And black.
Right.
Where did you get this kid?
Right. But that was kind of like my first time interacting with white people. And then when I moved to Westchester, like going to school, that's probably the second time. I'm trying to think of what was one of the most striking things. I don't know. I guess it was one of those things to where when there weren't white people, it wasn't, I won't say us versus them, because it shouldn't be us, but it was just like, this is a group, that's a group. We ain't all the same group.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There could be some bullshit between the group. You could be cool. You could not be cool based on just the identity of the group. Like now you've seen yourself as opposed to. You know what I'm saying? You've seen a different side of culture. You've seen like, you start to see difference. You know what I'm saying? I never felt like, I never got caught up in the whole like less than type shit. Like sometimes you'll see that, you know, sometimes you'll see people be like, yo, I wish I had it like white people, or, you know, white people had an advantage or whatever. And they might have, and there's, you know, but black shit always felt cool, fun, and the motherfucker always felt lit. Like even when you knew it was fucked up, even when shit was against all odds, there was some, it was allegiance in that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, shit, it's just, you know, it is us.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's And I don't want it to, because I, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about that. Like, I'm trying not to see the world as black, white, race, you know, just look at the, what's the word, the differences, whether you got money, you don't have money, mm-hmm. you're a religious person, you're not a religious person, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Rather look at the similarities, but it's just so weird how so many narratives are designed around that. You know right. what I mean? Whatever differences it can be, and if you aren't careful, you can be preoccupied with a narrative that you didn't really even prescribe to. That was right. kind of sold to you. I won't say sold to you, but that was the story.
Right.
You know, like there's times when I look on Twitter, and you'll see a story, some racial profiling shit or just some fucked up shit or whatever it could be, and the pot is almost stirred for you, and they say, hey,
right.
be fucked up. Feel bad about this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Here's this. And that becomes the narrative. And you could, it's almost like choose your own adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You could click on this and feel a fucking way as it was designed to, or you could not interact with it at all and right. look for some other shit. It's just interesting how difference can be leveraged.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's what happens. But in your real life, you have to understand what real life is. Because, like, you know, my first interaction uh-huh. with white people was the white flight era, which is kind of like gentrification in reverse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when we moved to the neighborhood, it was a few white families. It was, you know, still white families left for a very small amount of time, maybe 2 years.
Any kids your age or no?
Yes. Uh-huh. So I had Paul, Aaron, uh-huh. and Joey.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They were all my age. They was my crew.
How old were you then?
White boys. 6, 7.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So probably when I moved out, I was 5, so I probably didn't come outside till I was about 7.
Okay.
7, so like 7 to 9, uh-huh. 7 to 10.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was Aaron, Paul, and Joey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Joey rode BMX bikes and raced mm-hmm. them, and you know, he had all the trophies. Aaron's uncle, they all did motocross.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, but what I understood about the dynamics, because
mm-hmm.
what was going on in that era, they was going through some of the same shit we was going through. You know what I'm saying? So they moving these houses, same houses we moving in. Then you get a divorce and shit is fucked up.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So Paul, his pops, they got a divorce. His pops left, his mom got the house. They pool went from blue to green.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This shit, you know what I'm saying? He used to have all
I didn't even realize that was fucked up. That's how out the pool game I
oh,
am.
Shit.
Went from pool, blue to green. I was
if
like.
If your pool green, it's fucked up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, your pool got to be blue.
It's algae?
That's just fucked up. Okay. That means you ain't taking care of it. There's motherfuckers living in it.
Damn.
Frogs and shit, tadpoles.
Oh,
it's a bad scenario.
That's funny.
So, you know what I'm saying? When Paul Pool went green, we was like, we knew it was fucked up. You know what I'm saying? It was like, oh, shit.
It's over for him.
Like, he going through some of the same shit we going through
right.
down here. And then you see his mom, she always fussing and shit.
Right.
Like, damn. It's like he was, you know, they was feeling it. Then they had to move. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Aaron, shit. Aaron lived with his grandparents. Him and his mom lived with his grandparents. I didn't even know where the fuck Aaron daddy was.
Yeah.
But they live so good that you ain't really paid attention until you really paid attention. Like, damn, where your daddy at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a kid that young, you just act shit like that.
Yeah, you want to know the story.
Where's your dad?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know? Like the cops.
So when you know Aaron ain't got no daddy and, you know, he living with
green pool.
No, Aaron, they pool blew us. They had the best pool on the fucking block.
Oh, okay.
They had the best everything. Because Aaron's grandfather was holding that shit down. And, like I said, they was doing the motocross, so the motorcycle with the dirt bikes and shit. So his granddaddy had the perfect garage with all the tools in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
He had every fucking thing you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you need to put some air in your tires, mm-hmm. he got a compressor. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You need to fucking do anything. He had all the shit you needed.
Right.
And then the pool was pristine. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the granddaddy was doing everything to make sure that the kids were straight. But then when you really paid attention, like, Aaron ain't really had no daddy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And then Joey, his parents got divorced, and it was a tragedy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, then they had to move. Like, it was one point it was living there. They ain't had no furniture and shit. Like, damn, Joey, what the fuck going on? Like, we in that motherfucker listening to Another One Bites the Dust.
Damn.
And then it's like.
Damn, that's like, a fitting.
Like, damn, this nigga ain't got no carpet. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? When you realize, like, you think your house is, you know what I'm saying, is lesser than.
Yeah.
But then you realize, damn, his shit is lesser than mine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's fucked up.
It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And so they had to move. So, you know what I'm saying? It was like, damn, they going through some of this same shit. It's like, you know, then the movies, like, that's when cable first came on. You had, like, the movies like High Cost of Living and 9 to 5 and shit.
Right.
And I really related to them movies.
Right.
Because I saw the same shit in my house that I saw in Paul, Aaron, and Joey house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I see these mamas trying to make it happen and shit. I was like, damn, I could relate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was the real first taste. But that was like 2 years. And then the neighborhood went black.
Man. I remember back, speaking of that, I remember might have been my last go at Fresh Air Fun. We were struggling. Did I tell you about this shit? I told you about this shit. So the same family I used to go to, they split.
Uh-huh.
So now, you know what I mean? It was, they were a couple. Now it's just one.
Right.
And
so which was the mom or the dad?
It was the mom.
Okay. So she kept it going.
She kept it picked.
We're going to let little Damien come.
Yeah. we're gonna give him a good shot. So she came. To your point, I'm kind of like, yo, where's, you know what I mean? I don't want to say his name, but where's homie at?
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, and then, you know, when you young like that, they go, we'll talk about it. I give you the whole story. So we get to the spot. We not going back to the house.
Oh.
It's not a house.
We go apartment.
No. Yeah, it's an apartment, but we like in a shared house.
Oh, where? Oh, shit.
Like a mixed unit.
Right.
It looked like a house from outside, but it's like mixed
different
unit. Yeah, it's different spots.
I'm like, this ain't fresh air. This is worse than where I came from.
I could have struggled back at the house. You know what I mean? We had TV, though. There was a TV.
Okay. So she was like, fuck all that.
Fuck all of it. What she was talking about, that whole scripture, she wasn't with it. Now we backsliding. We sliding back into the hood a little bit. So it was a little fucked up. But they had a TV, small TV. She had a little dude. She had a dude she was dating. You know what I mean? Younger dude. You know what I mean? He worked at the Burger King. Check this shit out. We used to get, like, if it was good, like, if it was a good night, he'd bring back some shit.
Right.
Couple whoppers or some shit like that. Like, we was doing it like
so
that.
You in the...
I was fucked up.
You
for
in
a
the
minute.
Fucked up scenario.
Which was interesting because to see that, okay... We all could be fucked up.
But how long you had to be there? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
And then you got to settle into this shit. Like, shit. Is homie bringing the whoppers tonight?
And this, and it wasn't like one of them situations where, as of today, I mean, I'm sure I talked to my moms frequently, but there was letter writing, and there might be one or two calls or some shit like that a week or something like
long
that.
Long distance.
Yeah, it wasn't no texting. It wasn't no FaceTiming.
Right.
So, you know, it was like, oh, shit. Yeah, you got to settle into, this is what it is, huh? This is different. You know what I mean? Like, we all, yeah. So to go through it, I see what you're talking about. It was something to see, like to see that struggle, that shit, struggle wasn't prejudice. Everybody could be fucked up.
Right.
But yeah, that was that as far as struggle goes. And then later on, you know, like just to see culturally, like, how the lines were like early on. That's back when music was a lot more segmented still. Mm-hmm. So there was like a lot of like headbangers, you know what I mean? Heavy metal type shit, Guns N' Roses type motherfuckers. And then, you know, Public Enemy, you know what I mean? And it might be the one couple cats that seen the, you know what I mean? The value of both or whatever. But it's interesting.
But it's like right now, like with gentrification, right?
Yeah.
Because of those types of experiences, you could see shit a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, you might have a neighbor, they come in with this air of, you know, I'm this guy and I came in to save your neighborhood. And
right.
I pay, you know, however many times more in rent than you.
Right.
Okay, cool. All right. But then... when you see that, you know what I'm saying, you could recognize a struggle face.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. The stress.
The stress, you know what I'm saying? When the coffee cup is being held too fucking tight.
Right.
The top about to poof. You know what I'm saying?
Motherfucker vaping too hard down
the
block.
Vaping too hard. You understand? You like, you know what I'm saying? You want to tell him, I feel you, dog.
Right.
I know that $4,000 a month is hurting, man.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? And you, I know you mad because, you know, you got to get up, get out and get something early in the morning. You see, you see cats just relaxing, you know, on the stoop. At, you know what I'm saying? 9 in the morning, might be starting a barbecue or some shit. And you feeling some type of way.
How the fuck?
Yeah. Don't feel no kind of way. They going through the same shit you going through. They just handling it different. You know what I'm saying?
Cause,
you know what I'm saying? A lot of times they want to still feel like, you know, you know, I'm above this shit. But struggle is struggle, man. And you know what I'm saying? When it's showing your face, that mean it's real.
Dude, I see this cat. I don't know if he was really struggling or just he had a struggle face. I was on West Side Highway. I'm driving. I'm going south. He's going north. There's the island between the two of them. He's got his window down. I mean, that motherfucker looked so somber in the face. It took everything I had because we're caught out. I looked over. I seen him. He saw me see him and kind of looked at it. I took everything I had not to be like, yo. It's going to be all right, fam.
Keep your head up, fam.
Yeah, one of those.
All right.
You know. But, yeah, man.
Yeah, so it's just interesting to see it in reverse. You know what I'm saying? Because we were the families coming in, and it was obviously a different vibe of how you come in when you come into somebody else's neighborhood. But then, you know, to see it come, them come into our neighborhoods, and it's still the neighborhood. It ain't like... You know, they come and then it's all of a sudden they neighborhood and shit. So it's like they had to live with some hood shit that's actually still going on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And some of them don't understand how to take it. Some of them take it too far. You know, I'm seeing, I'm seeing gentrified crackheads or whatever drug it is. It's like, what the fuck? You know, you ain't supposed to come over here, you know what I'm saying?
Mercy.
Add to the, you know what I'm saying? Right. You know what I'm saying? Shit, nah.
Dang.
So it's a trip to watch it all happen, you know, man?
Yeah. I don't think nobody really think they're going to be a full-on crackhead. I think everybody think that. You know, people think that they're going to test it out, see what it is. They curious.
That's the thing with addiction. Like, you think you could beat it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's always, you know, I got control of this. You know what I'm saying? I do this because I want to do it. I can stop whenever I want.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Dr. Sekou Gathers, you know what I'm saying? You know, if listen to the Truth podcast, you know what I'm saying? He has these this content, extra content for people who support the podcast. And then one of them, that's part of it, you know what I'm saying? The addiction part where you think I could beat this shit because, you know what I'm saying, I'm in control.
Right.
But really, you're not.
Yeah.
And the drugs is in control.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, the more you do it, the more what it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Stay off the crack. Oh, you need a little session? Anyway.
Yeah, go ahead, man. You know,
I'm
trying to be discreet.
Sorry. Oh, man. Jay-Z is officially a billionaire.
According to the Forbes. Yes,
according
sir.
To, oh, wow. You getting
No, that's not an asterisk at all. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? You know how that go.
What's that mean? What you mean?
It's just like Trump is a billionaire, according to something, whatever source. You know what I'm saying? But yes, I'm not taking nothing from it. I'm actually proud. I'm super proud that, you know what I'm saying? Jay-Z could, you know what I'm saying, be still in the game at that level and take it all the way there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To come in when he came in and to take it all the way there. Like, a lot of the cats that's in the running, Dre, even Puff.
Right.
They was running before him.
I thought Puff was going to get there before Jay.
Puff is close, but Jay is active.
Yeah, he out there moving.
You know what I'm saying? He active with Tidal. He took big chances with Tidal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He took big chances with, you know what I'm saying, with, I think his deal with the champagne is a lot different than what Puff's deal is with the Ciroc. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take ownership, take less money.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Shit.
So he got to a Billy.
Which means Beyonce is coming up at them.
Probably. Well, it's a couple things. Makes you have to say, one, did Hov do everything he said he was going to do? You know how rappers, you know, he rap all that shit. That's part of his whole thing. Everything I said, I got. Everything I, you know, nigga said I'm going to be a billionaire and they ain't even claim that. It's like, he's the most accountable rapper in the game on a certain level. Mm-hmm. And then I found myself thinking, well, there's a couple things. One, I think, obviously, everybody ain't going to become a billionaire, but just the aspiration, not that it wasn't there, but I think, you know how Hov makes shit hot? There's going to be some more billionaires because it's just, oh, it's attainable. We trying it. Hov did it. You know what I mean? It's going to be a little bit more. I mean,
starting with Dre and Puff.
They got to right. get there. You know what
right.
I mean?
Starting with the new cast that's coming. They see the game. Just like, you know what I'm saying, somebody like Quincy Jones played the game in a way that set the tone for this generation, like for Russell and Puff and Jay, you know what I'm saying? To not only do the music shit, but to expand in all these different right. kinds of businesses and media corporations and start TV stations and magazines and shit. They doing this generation's version of that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's gonna be kids looking at Jay like, oh shit.
Hov got the billion.
You know what I'm saying?
There's also, yeah, so there's gonna be that. There's gonna be that desire. That's gonna be hot. There's gonna be people that are gonna try to get the billion. There's gonna be people that are gonna get the billion. Then made me think, and I've always felt like this, especially now that he's the billionaire now. I think that is Jay-Z's career, I mean, I won't say responsible, but I feel like, especially since the Jay-Z era, and maybe someone before him, but particularly Jay-Z because he rap about it so much, that your financial capacity almost is part of the measurements when we start thinking of GOATs. You know what I mean? Like, well, let me finish. Let me finish. Like, obviously, being a dope lyricist, having great albums, all of that, having influence, those are heavy categories, and those are probably the leading factors. But I noticed, like, towards the late 90s, early 2000s, the debate was, yeah, you doing all of that, but you ain't getting no money, though. You know what I mean? This was the Master P era. This is the Cash Money right. era. This is the Rockefeller era.
Right.
It became almost like this is yet another thing that we're going to look at your fouls. We're going to look at right. your free throws.
But not really, because even still, Biggie and Pac still held through, even through all of the richness.
But that's also because they were killed.
Okay, still. But Biggie's lyrics stand for themselves.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, art-wise, he still ain't been touched, really. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but I think when you get killed, it's almost like they raise your, they retire your jersey. It's in the rafters.
Yeah,
but
that's why he's there with two albums. You know what I'm saying?
And that's also pretty much that's before the Jay-Z era.
It's before the Jay-Z era, but even still, like, cats like Rakim, right?
Yeah.
Rakim never really sold a billion records right. and shit. He really probably had 1.5 strong albums.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But his impact and what he brought to it and his artistry with that impact changed the game so much that people been chasing that ever since, till we got Biggie. Biggie came, nobody has matched his ability to do what he did, you know what I'm saying, as far as tossing words around with ease and uh-huh. just, you know what I'm saying, and cadences and fucking, he just had the flow. He had flow, like, where it just came out of him. You know what I'm saying?
I admit that.
He's untouched. So he's going to be in the conversation regardless of how much money he had or didn't have.
But what I'm saying is, and those are three artists that are grandfathered in. They also pre-get money generation. Right. Like, 97 is where it started
so
to be.
So who else is in the GOAT conversation? What you got?
Nas. Right? Nas is approaching the Billy, right? But at one point, that's what they say. I mean, everybody, that's what they say. Who knows? I'm not counting that man's pockets,
but I ain't hear that conversation.
I mean, I think maybe that's just Nas fans saying, yo, no, but I heard he made some great
investments.
He's
making some good investments.
He's doing well. But before that, we had heard that. That was one of the things. I remember when cats would put it on paper because Nas was like the rapper's rapper, the poet, the street poet,
right.
The street poet, like the noble poet laureate, like of the people.
Right.
Whereas Jay was a rapper, but he was also about the business. He was the blinger. He was the mainstream. He was the shiny. He was commercial, as what they used to call it. You know what I mean? Then that became like the standard. Like, yo, don't just be dope on record. If you dope on record, the motherfuckers like your songs and shit. Get to the bag, use your influence, start diversifying, blah, blah, blah. And then you started to see that would be
considered. Like when Master P came and he owned his disc and he owned his masters and he had 85% of the, you know what I'm saying, the whole shit. He only split 15, you know what I'm saying? That became part of, okay, this is what I got to do. You know what I'm saying? Like cats like Puff, who was doing it at the time, they didn't have that, but it didn't take away from what Puff was doing.
It didn't take away, but what I'm saying is from now on, I feel like that's also a part of the conversation. Like people will say, when they sum up anybody, be like, yeah, he put that album out. That was a dope verse on that. Oh yeah, and then he got to deal with such and such. And then he's doing this. It's almost like now that's a new category.
Right, but even if you look at Nipsey.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was marching his way towards that, and his music wasn't necessarily even in that conversation.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying, of course he did get killed, but he was making moves that...
He was a businessman.
That put him in the conversation of a higher level conversation.
Before he died, I used to always say he's like the Malcolm Gladwell of hip-hop. You know what I mean? Because he did that whole $100, you know what I mean? The $100 mixtape, $1,000 mixtape. He was doing like a lot of, I don't want to say stunts for sake of a better word, but yeah, kind of like, let's test this.
Right.
Let's see how strong this fan base is.
No doubt.
Let's leverage that. And it wasn't about, yo, this 16 is fire. It was like, yo, this 16 is fire, but let me see what I could make my fans do. Let me see how I could leverage this in this arena. Let me see if I could invest in the community. So like back when we talk about when Nipsey passed, that was a large part of the conversation with their thing. So I'm just saying like, was Jay, because obviously P and you know,
Birdman,
Birdman and all of them, they were about finance. I wouldn't put them in the lyricist conversation, but then as it became like it wasn't enough to just be a dope MC. It was like, yo, you're a dope MC. You got the opportunity to get more money here, and here. Right. Almost like that's all you want to be is just a dope MC.
Right. But see, that's how Jay came in the game. You know what I'm saying? The difference was he was never just a signed artist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was an artist with a label.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a team and a company. And they had to make money to make the company successful.
He had to do it to get in the game.
And so the fact that he was a dope MC just only added fuel to that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That just made the whole story, like you say, accountable in his what'd you say he was? The most what?
Accountable?
No, you say he was the most accountable rapper?
I think so. I think financially accountable. Basically, he's done everything he said he was going to.
Right. So he did that from the jump. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He fucking said it in the lyrics when the first album, he was talking that talk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? First videos, his first visuals was talking that talk. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And ain't no nigga video. They taking big bags of money to the bank in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Talking that talk.
Or even this. This is what I meant too. Like, prior to that, it was almost like he kind of made it to where if you're going to say you got this shit,
you better
show
it.
He's the receipt rapper.
That's what he said. What's the, you know what I'm saying? You got them cars, bring them out. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because before that, you could have a lot of shit. He could get his aspiration as what? I got a flat OJ. All of that shit. We might see you on the D train.
Right.
And we'd be like,
the rings and things you sing about, bring them out.
Yeah, you know all of that shit you was talking, I need to see it so I know
because
it's real.
He talked that talk because they was doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but who else is in the GOAT conversation as of like recent?
I mean, the GOAT conversation is so expansive, but so Drake, Kendrick, Ye, Nas is solidified.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of this next generation, Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know if these are people that are going for the, you know what I mean? The next, like they're the greatest of this era.
Right.
I'm sure I'm leaving a few people out, but it's like pretty much almost all of them got some type of business.
Yeah,
even Kendrick. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
I think Drake is
closest
focused on doing that same thing,
right?
And getting to them same places. They running them same circles. It's Jay, LeBron,
right?
Fucking Drake. Mm-hmm. All of them are hyper aspirational with getting to higher levels.
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's a lot of people out there that's like, it's not enough that this album is banging. I got to get this money. I got to level all the way up. You know what I mean? Like, you see a lot of that.
I had to make it all work all the way from all angles. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm not taking a deal type shit. Right. Even if you are taking a deal, you might talk that I'm not taking a deal talk.
Yeah, you know, I'm independent, but not really.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man.
Dude, where that budget come from?
Right. Did you see When They See Us?
I saw some of it. I couldn't take it
It's tough.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, my son watched the whole shit. I was happy he watched it. My wife watched the whole shit.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, you got to finish it. I'm like, man, really, do I have to? Because, you know what I'm saying?
You kind of know what's going to happen.
You know this thing, but you know what I'm saying? It's that thing where, shit, I done lived this shit. I done beat that motherfucking scenario of being young and getting caught up and getting railroaded into the fucking system and shit. You done did everything you had to do to buck that shit.
Right.
To sit back and watch it and revel in what you already been dodging all your life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to have time and motherfucking energy to do that shit. I ain't got the time or the energy. Hilarious. I need some motherfucking positive vibe. I need Jay-Z being billionaire. Try to get my shit focused. And then I had to catch that on a weekend where, you know what I'm saying, I got the emotional wherewithal.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, like it ain't much you could tell me about being a black man.
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying, shit, you was born that way, and you was born in it, and you was born with all the same.
And it's nothing you can do.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing you could do. You wake up. Motherfuckers look the other way, hold their purse, you know what I'm saying? Don't want to sit next to you on the train. This every day. Police, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sizing you up, you know what I'm saying? And you figure the way to how to manage that shit, negotiate it, and get through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you know the story of what happened. This is like a teachable moment for motherfuckers who don't know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what that shit is for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, it's absolutely that. It's sad because it was horrible what happened. So to relive it, especially if you remember it, it's, you know, it's traumatic. You know what I mean? You could feel it viscerally. Like, you know, my lady like grew up in that area, a couple grades behind them kids. Like, you know what I mean? Hung out in that same situation, so that shit hit real close there.
Did she watch it?
Yeah, the first couple episodes, but like, it's a lot. Right. You know what I mean? It's a lot. It's a lot, and it's fucked up because we always talk about these savage ass stories, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a real story, and it really happened. And these people, these kids endured that shit,
right?
And they got to the other side of it. It didn't fully break them. It affected them greatly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it didn't break them as people. They're still around, but shit is fucked up. And it was a gross injustice.
Mm-hmm.
What's fucked up about it to me outside of it's just, it feels like it's like the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's almost like so many of the same players.
Yeah.
Same shit. It's still in the same story 30 years later.
Yeah, because if you are participating from the other side, right?
Yeah.
And you have the other vantage point of these savages.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is like, if you look at the response from, say, the people who take the other side, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, 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 wasn't they DNA, but he was just the sixth member. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, just like even the victim herself, that's what she was saying. It was like, you know, even though the headline is like victim, she doesn't remember anything about the thing, but she was saying that, you know, it had to be more.
Right.
Had to be more. He just had to be, you know what I'm saying, just the other member.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They got caught up. So they sticking to that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I'm saying? They not changing. the way they think. And that's a small microcosm to how society works. People who are locked into a certain mind frame and a certain segment, that's just how they feel. Fuck it. They mm-hmm. don't give a fuck about none of that shit.
Just programming.
It wasn't that they was just innocent because they was out there wilding anyway.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just that, you know what I mean? The evidence that we had only shows that one of them.
Right.
Like, this motherfucker didn't even know these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he was just one of them.
Mm-hmm. Had to be.
Had to be, because that's what it is.
Fit the description.
You know what I'm saying?
That's yeah, the thing.
The lady from Emmett Till come out and say, yeah, he ain't really do that shit. I lied. Yep. But still, he must have did something.
That's what the other people, that's not yeah, what that's she what, said.
No, that's what I'm saying. The other, the, yeah. like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people feel a certain way, they get locked into it. That's human nature. That's how humans.
Well, that's also programming, grow. Too, because that's what you're given. Like, when they took the profile of black men, black,
right.
you know what I mean? Like, to the point of the title, when they see us, it's like, this is all of this shit that's to it. So even if I was wrong in this particular place, nah, that's typically that. Well, it must have been another motherfucker, basically, because that's what they've gone to believe, and that's like fear. You know what I mean? There's a lot of program. It goes beyond just black and white. There's a lot of
But that fear turns into belief, and that belief turn into fucking laws, and them laws turn into motherfucking you know what I'm saying? Systematic situations.
Yeah.
So those people who believe that shit, who parents taught them that shit, they grow up
right.
and they become fucking judges. And you know what I'm saying? Somebody did this shit. Might as well be you. Fuck it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Shit's crazy. You know what, man? I was watching. I only got past two of the episodes. But it made me realize, just knowing your rights, that's a superpower. Especially, you know what I mean? Like, in life. Not even as a youth. Mm-hmm. Just knowing your rights. Because if you don't, they could do whatever they want to do with you.
They're going to do whatever they want
to
do.
If you don't know that, yo, I need a lawyer. I'm about speaking of just little shit. And that information is still not, like, available in abundance. Like,
and the thing
motherfuckers
is,
know dances.
Sure.
No. I mean, niggas knew how to do the shiggy 3 days in.
But see, I think even though it's cats that know that shit. But when you get caught up in a situation,
it don't always
and they start manipulating that shit,
yeah.
and you sitting behind them bars, and you hear the other side of them bars, and you know what's over there, and you know your bed is comfortable and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They start telling you all this shit. Yo, you start thinking, what's the least amount of fucking pain I can endure in this shit?
Yeah.
If I ask for my lawyer, they're going to impose the most pain.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Shit. Let me see what these motherfuckers talking about. You know what I'm saying?
That's fucked up.
And that's, you know, it's a shame. And there's a lot of times, you know, motherfuckers do the crime before they know, you know what I'm saying, the value of the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they be out there doing it and hollering, I'm a real this and I'm a real that, until that shit hits you in your face with what's real, real.
Yeah.
And to stand up and say, I need my lawyer, and da 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 da. You got to be real, real. You know what I'm saying? You got to be like, fuck it. Whatever way this go, I'm going to do what's right by what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You motherfuckers going to have to do your motherfucking job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not finna do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But when they start talking that, hey, you could go home in 6 months, or shit, da 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 da, you start thinking, oh, if I go to trial, I'm going to lose. And then that's when you start giving in. You see that shit on First 48 every time.
Mm-hmm.
This shit ain't new. Motherfucker, you a kid, motherfucker, telling you could go home and sleep in your mama bed, or, you know what I'm saying, you go back in there with these goons.
Mm-hmm.
You going to do whatever you can to get back to your bed.
Yeah, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. Why don't you hit us with some good news, Ali? Let's finish up with on a positive note. How about you hit us with that?
Good news. Good news. I don't know. I don't have no good news. I mean, good news. I'm working on some good projects. I'm starting a tour with Cavassier.
You
know
shit.
What I'm saying? That's the kicking off the summer situation, Summer Muhammad out here. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to, I think that's 7 cities. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
So we usually do these things in the summer, these tours in the summer.
Right.
So this is the first of those that
what
come through.
What cities you going to?
You know, the typicals, Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, LA, Miami, Atlanta, New York. First one is in New York on Thursday, actually. So if you want to check it out, hit me up. I'll send you the link. All
right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. I think you said Atlanta twice.
That's okay.
No, there's a city that is like, damn, we ain't even get our shout out. This is that seventh city that didn't get no love. Chicago was Chicago?
I said Chicago.
Did you say Chicago?
I said Chicago.
Detroit.
I said Detroit. I said Atlanta.
Tuskegee?
I love Tuskegee. I had great times in Tuskegee. We'll talk about it on another show, but I love Tuskegee.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Where you going to be?
I'm going to be here. I'm be in New York. I'm going to be in New York. I'll be around. I was shout out to anybody that came through Eastville. I was there all last week. We had a good time. Did 40 minutes out there. That was fun. Oh, shit. Off the top of the head, I don't have any dates to shout out at this moment. But if I ain't going to be, I'm going to be here for sure. It's a damn shame. I'm going to be here for sure. I will be here for sure. I'll be popping up. I think y'all should follow me on social media if I got anything popping up. I've been trying to update my website for a minute. That's what's really killing me. I've been trying to get this new website off the ground. And my SEO is trash. Like, I put my name and I can't find my website. You know what I'm saying? So
who you got working on that? I'm sure somebody listening like, motherfucker, you should have called me.
Yeah, well, you know. Shout out to who I do have working on it because I haven't completely lost faith. We still working through it.
I mean, but, like,
but see, if y'all got any.
Designing the website, building the website is different than the SEO shit.
Right. If you got any ideas on SEO optimization.
Yes.
If you have any ideas on SEO optimization, holla at me because I need to get my shit optimized.
That's real shit. Like, that's two different disciplines.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you motherfucker will build it, but, you know, you got to have the motherfucker that can tell you how to make it work.
Yeah, so we need that.
Word up.
So that's what I'll be doing this week, looking for you, the chief SEO optimizer. And then, I'll be back here. But in between that, in the meantime, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
We are out.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.